For discovering one's true inner nature, I think one should try to take out some time with quiet and relaxation to think more inwardly and to investigate the inner world. That may help. Then when one is very much involved in hatred or attachment, if there is time or possibility during that very moment, just try to look inward and ask, what is attachment? What is the nature of anger? If the basic human nature was aggressive, we would have been born with animal claws and huge teeth. But ours are very short, very pretty, very weak. That means we are not well equipped to be aggressive beings. Even the size of our mouth is very small. So I think the basic nature of human beings should be gentle. During conception, even the physical substance on which the self is conventionally based, the egg and sperm, belongs to someone else, the parents. Still, you can say that it belongs to the self also. The body comes from someone else, but as soon as the consciousness enters, it's that new person's body, embryo, fetus, or whatever you want to call it, even though prior to that, it wasn't. So the physical constituents of the embryo come from two different people. But as soon as the consciousness enters the mixed cell, that cell now belongs to the consciousness. As long as you are not completely enlightened, there will always be an inner obstruction to knowledge that will make your task of helping others incomplete. Among the 5.7 billion human beings, the older generation, including me, is getting ready to say goodbye to this world. The youth has to carry the responsibility for the future. So please realize your responsibility. Remember your potential and have self-confidence. Have an open mind and a sense of caring and belonging. The freshness and strength that youth has should not fade away. You must keep this enthusiasm. Laziness will stop your progress in your spiritual practice. One can be deceived by three types of laziness: the laziness of indolence, which is the wish to procrastinate, the laziness of inferiority, which is doubting your capabilities, and the laziness that is attachment to negative actions or putting great effort into non-virtue. Ideally, one should have a great deal of courage and strength, but not boast or make a big show of it. Then, in times of need, one should rise to the occasion and fight bravely for what is right. Some people, sweet and attractive and strong and healthy, happen to die young. They are masters in disguise, teaching us about impermanence. We practice various meditations during dream stages. The potential of such practices is that at a certain level, it is possible to separate the gross levels of consciousness from the gross physical state and arrive at a subtler level of mind and body. You could, for example, separate your mind from your body during sleep and do some extra work that you cannot do in your ordinary body. However, you might not get paid for it. Nearly all of us receive our first lessons in peaceful living from our mothers, because the need for love lies at the very foundation of human existence. From the earliest stages of our growth, we are completely dependent on our mother's care, and it is very important for us that she express her love. If children do not receive proper affection, in later life, they will often find it hard to love others. Both bondage and true freedom depend on the varying states of the clear light mind, the state that meditators try to attain through the application of various meditative techniques. Is one in which this ultimate nature of mind fully manifests all its positive potential. Every noble work is bound to face problems and obstacles. It is important to check your goal and motivation thoroughly. One should be very truthful, honest, and reasonable. One's action should be good for others, and for oneself as well. Once a positive goal is chosen, you should decide to pursue it all the way to the end. Even if it is not realized, at least there will be no regret. Everything has its limits. Too much consumption or effort to make money is not good. Neither is too much contentment. In principle, contentment should be pursued, but pure contentment is almost suicidal. What irritates us in the first place is that our wishes are not fulfilled. But remaining upset does nothing to help fulfill those wishes. So we neither fulfill our wishes nor regain our cheerfulness. This disconcerted state, from which anger can grow, is most dangerous. We should try never to let our happy frame of mind be disturbed. Whether we are suffering at present or have suffered in the past, there's no reason to be unhappy. When you have fear, you can think, others have fear similar to this. May I take to myself all of their fears? Even though you are opening yourself to greater suffering, taking greater hardship on yourself, your fear lessens. In this ever-changing world, there are two important things that we should keep in mind. The first is self-examination. We should re-examine our own attitude toward others, and constantly check ourselves to see whether we are practicing properly. Before pointing our finger at others, we should point it toward ourselves. Second, we must be prepared to admit our faults and stand corrected. Your experience will enable you to understand what consciousness implies and what it is. Consciousness is a non-obstructing phenomenon, is non-material, and has the quality of luminosity. That is, it reflects any object by arising in the aspect of that object. Consciousness is like a crystal stone. While a crystal is resting on a colored surface, you cannot see the real untinted clarity of the crystal stone. But once you take the crystal away from the surface, you can perceive its actual clarity. Individuals who are best suited for practice are those who are not only intellectually gifted, but also have single-pointed faith and dedication and are wise. These people are most receptive to spiritual practice. In the second group, individuals may not be highly intelligent, but they have a rock-solid foundation in faith. The unfortunate are those in the third category. Although these individuals may be highly intelligent, they are always dogged by skepticism and doubts. They are clever, but they tend to be hesitant and skeptical and are never really able to settle down. These people are the least receptive. A nagging sense of discontent, a feeling of being dissatisfied, or of something being not right, is the fuel that gives rise to anger and hatred. This discontent arises in us when we feel that either we ourselves, or someone we love, or our close friends are being treated unfairly or threatened, and that people are being unjust. Also, when others somehow obstruct us in achieving something, we feel that we are being trodden upon, and then we feel angry. So the approach here is to get at the root, appreciating the causal nexus, the chain, which will ultimately explode in an emotional state like anger or hatred. When we consider that everything we experience results from a complex interplay of causes and conditions, we find that there is no single thing to desire or resent, and it is more difficult for the afflictions of attachment and anger to arise. In this way, the view of interdependence makes our minds more relaxed and open. On the subject of love and marriage, my simple opinion is that making love is all right, but for marriage, don't hurry, be cautious. Make sure you will remain together forever, at least for this whole life. That is important, for if you marry hurriedly, without understanding well what you are doing, then after a month or after a year, trouble starts and you will be seeking divorce. From a legal viewpoint, divorce is possible, and without children, maybe it is acceptable, but with children, it is not. When we contemplate death and the impermanence of life, our minds automatically begin to take an interest in spiritual achievements, just as an ordinary person becomes apprehensive when seeing the corpse of a friend. Meditation on death cuts off attraction toward transient and meaningless activities. Try to develop a deep conviction that the present human body has great potential, and that you shall never waste even a single minute of its use. Not taking any essence of this precious human existence, but just wasting it, is almost like taking poison while being fully aware of the consequences of doing so. It is very wrong for people to feel deeply sad when they lose some money. Yet when they waste the precious moments of their lives, they do not have the slightest feeling of repentance.